Roll the clip, Sandy. Kick it.
Ooh, nice.
You recognize that?
No, I don't.
Oh, it's what Arsenio used to say back in the day.
Did he?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think. It's been a long time.
Oh, Sandy. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Sandy. Roll the clip, Sandy. Kick it.
Yeah.
So I just pulled that out of nowhere. Well, you know what? That kind of keeps with this theme. Arsenio was a big thing in the 90s. He had 90s actors coming on his show, pipping out 90s movies.
Very good.
Very good. Yeah. It's all. It all. Anyways.
Oh, hey.
You want to.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. This is episode number,
Who cares?
What episode? 26, 27, 28, something like that?
29, 30, 31.
Something like that. We don't even keep track anymore.
No. Yeah. I just want to show you I can count really good.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. There you go. So, once again, I am Travis, and with me is Xavier. How you doing?
Yo.
You can change it up every time, aren't you?
I don't know. Should I have, like, a go-to thing of greetings? I guess I don't know. I'm still workshopping a well, nobody has a sign. Nobody has a signature greeting. They have a signature exit line.
Yeah, sign off.
So yeah, so I can introduce myself however I want.
Okay, well, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're sticking with this time?
For this time, yeah, I'm gonna stick with it again. Yo, yo MTV,
yo MTV raps,
raps again,
like from the 90s,
very 90s.
Yeah,
yes. So what's this topic about?
How about we rewind back to the 90s on this episode?
Oh, if only we could in real life.
No kidding, right?
What a great time, the 90s, dude.
It was.
It really was. Even the fashion, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I like the fashion in the 90s. You know what I fucking miss?
Hmm.
Chokers. That girls wore.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, that was so hot when a girl wore a choker.
Yeah.
I miss that. I wish that thing would come back.
That was pretty hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even if a girl's like a good girl and she's like, she puts on a choker, immediately, there you go. She's a bad girl.
Yeah.
There you go. I can't snap. But yeah, dude, I miss that. I miss Doc Martens. I miss
the whole shebang, huh?
The whole shebang, yeah. That was a good time. And a good time for movies.
Oh, I think so.
A lot of good movies came out.
There's a lot of well-known, established movies, franchises, trilogies, everything that kind of came out in that whole decade. But we at the Rewind like to occasionally go back and, I don't know, reminisce about the, I don't know, forgotten little gems.
This is kind of a sequel.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because we covered the 80s lost forgotten gems of the 80s.
Yeah. A few episodes back, we did the forgotten 80s gems, childhood gems.
Yeah. And when we were talking about non-DC, non-Marvel comic book movies, we mentioned Dick Tracy real quick.
Yes.
And we started talking about that, but neither of us were super familiar with it. But we were like, you know what? And you even said, like, don't quote me, but you said, I quote, "That's like a lost gem of the 90s, end quote. Don't quote me.
Yeah.
So.
You should actually go back and re-listen to that episode, or if you haven't heard it yet.
That's a fun one.
Yeah, go check it out.
So I'm like, hey, there's a lot of movies in the 90s that don't get any love these days,
mm-hmm.
and they deserve some. So we're here to love them.
That's what we do around
so
here.
So to speak.
So I know you have a lot of love for these movies, so you want to kick it off this time?
Okay. Let me see. Okay. Here's a good one. All
right.
It's from 1992.
Okay.
It's a horror movie.
Okay.
I was still young enough that it was it could scare me a little bit. I wasn't totally like over them. It's 1992's Sleepwalkers.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Do you remember this movie?
Yeah.
It's a Stephen King movie in the sense that he wrote it, but it wasn't based on a book of his. He just sort of wrote the screenplay. He wrote it as a movie. To be a movie.
That's funny. I assumed that all like Stephen King movies were like
this is like an anomaly on his resume. It's like about cat people. Not to be confused with that movie Cat People.
Yeah.
But it's like they're like vampires. They like suck the life force out of you, but they're also they turn into cat-ish people, but their kryptonite is like fucking cats. Like house cats can jump on them and claw them and burn them and like
cuz cats are evil.
Fuck yeah. Fuck cats.
Yeah.
I'm a dog man. I was raised in a dog family.
Cats.
Personally, I think cats suck.
Yeah,
but
try living with them.
Yeah, I'd rather not. But that's one of the reasons I loved about this movie is because a lot of fucking cats get killed. Like, violently. Like, yeah, they get shot. They get in those, like, fucking random bear traps. They get fucking snapped their fucking necks and shit. Yeah, there's a lot of cat mutilations. If you hate cats, check out this fucking movie. Mark Hamill is a little bit cameo in the beginning of the movie.
He plays
like a sheriff. Yeah. That's Ron Perlman's in this movie. That's like this state detective, so that's always a plus to see Ron Perlman. And the main girl in it, I don't want to fuck her name up. It's like Mad Madchen Amick. I've never heard it spoken aloud. I've only seen it. She was, oh God, as a kid, I was like so in love with her. She was so gorgeous. Coming off of Twin Peaks.
Ah, okay.
I think this is after Twin Peaks. She was just so cute. And she was, you know, that was like half the reason I watched this movie was because of her. Yeah, but this is a cool movie. Like I said, it's still a little scary. Stephen King himself has a fun little cameo in the movie. Look closely, you'll spot a couple other cameos by guys like John Landis or Joe Dante. A couple of directors get cameos in this movie for just a fun reason.
Right.
Cool-ass movie, dude, and holds up.
And that was around the time that Stephen King was, like, you know, there was
He was on fire. His name was enough. Like, put his name above a movie. That's probably why they agreed. Like, just give me a movie. We don't got time for you to write a book.
Yeah.
Just give us a fucking movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, Sleepwalkers.
Screw the whole book writing thing.
Yeah, let's just knock out the middleman and just give me the fucking book. But I remember when they turn into cats, and there's like four or five different variations of their transformations, but when they kind of have like a minimalistic cat, they look a lot like the Buffy vampires.
Oh,
they
yeah?
get fangs, and they get the little furrowed brow, and they look a lot like Buffy vampires when they get catty.
from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah. When they get catty. But yeah, cool movie. I love that movie.
Yeah?
Anyway, yeah. Right,
when was the last time you checked it out?
Oh, it's been a few. I have it on DVD,
yeah.
But it's been a few years.
It's kind of like it's on your shelf.
Yeah.
And just...
Otho is in it. From Beetlejuice, Glenn Shaddix. Otho plays the teacher. Yeah, that was fun. Otho. Okay, on that note, which one you got? Because you can't, once you talk about Otho, what's left?
Exactly, yeah.
Exactly.
It's time to move on to something else.
Good rule of thumb.
All right, I have a little gem here from a little later in the decade, 1998. Actually, a lot of my movies are on this list, are 98, 99,
somewhere around. It was funny, I'm not going to talk about one past 95.
Really?
Yeah.
This will be interesting.
Yeah, okay. But I didn't want to mention that beforehand, so I didn't want to sway you on your list. But yeah.
By the way, full disclosure, I don't know what is on your list
and
movies.
And Versa Visa.
And I'm not showing you what my list is. Yeah.
I'm hoarding this shit like a fucking... Yeah, okay. Well, okay, so what's yours? I'm curious.
Right.
Dying here.
If you know me as a person, and you know you've been with me for a long time, you know I'm a big toy
platonically.
Guy. Yes, I'm a big toy guy. So
I think I know where you're going with this.
There was a movie that came out.
Was it a small movie?
A little bit, yeah. A lot of soldiers in there. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But yeah, Small Soldiers, 1998, directed by Joe Dante, who's he? Oh, you know, you may have heard him. He directed Gremlins, Burbs, Howling, a lot of
good movies. Yeah, fuck yeah.
So, but man, the cast in that movie,
there's a lot of like, there's like Phil Hartman, late great Phil Hartman.
Yeah, late
Phil
Hartman.
I got to open up with him.
J-Mar, Dennis Leary,
David Cross
is in
the movie.
Yeah.
Voice work of Tommy Lee Jones, Frank Langella, Mr.
Frank Langella
himself.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's got that little fucker, that little fuckhead from Everwood. What's his name? He's a little fucker. He was Mel Gibson's little dickhead kid in The Patriot. He's the one who gets shot for no good reason. Who starts the whole movie because he was too much of a dickhead. He's the Everwood dickhead. He's on this other show where he plays like a dickhead cop, like a rookie cop. I don't know, man. Just something about that kid. He needs a punch in the face. I never liked him, and he was to me because he's pretty much the main character. He's the weak link of that movie to me. Also, Kristen Dunst is in it.
Well, now I'm trying to figure out who the hell you're talking about.
Is it Gregory Smith?
Gregory Smith, yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think I knew his name. I just didn't want to give him the credit. Dickhead. But you like that movie?
It's a guilty pleasure.
Okay.
For me, yeah. But yeah, just the voice. Hey, Sarah Michelle Gellar, she does a
what?
Yeah, she does a voice work for that.
She's Barbie.
Yep.
Oh,
Gwendy,
yes. Or whatever the fuck. Oh God, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and
that's
also
cool.
Christina Ricci.
Ricci,
yeah.
She's in it too.
She does another Gwendy doll voice.
Oh okay.
But yeah, there's a let's see. Oh, Sherry O'Terry's in there too.
Dennis Leary's in that.
Yeah,
he's like the.
I mentioned that already. Pay attention.
Oh my bad.
Harry Shearer, he does a voice in there. Michael McKean. So yeah, a lot of good, well-known, established, just voice actors by themselves.
Real quick, if you don't know what fucking movie we're talking about, it's about...
Oh yeah, we probably should say that.
Yeah, somebody might be like, I don't know what the fuck, you have a lot of good names, what the fuck's the movie about?
Yeah.
What, okay, some give me the movie, pitch it to me, what's it
okay.
about?
Okay, basically, there's a toy company wants to put little microchips in the lactin figures. It's supposed to be... to make them come alive or whatever, but they...
These are like military-grade smart bomb microchips.
That's the big switch-up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was supposed to be just like regular toys, but the military got a hold of them, and they put them in there, and they got the everything switched up, and the toys come to life pretty much and wreak havoc.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So the toys become like AI, Skynet smart, and
pretty
wackiness
much.
Ensues.
Yeah. And, like, the soldiers, who you think were the good guys, and the little monsters, they're supposed to be the bad guys, it's kind of switched up. Like,
what
the soldiers...
What are the names of the monsters?
Like, Archer? He was, like...
Yeah, that was his name, but they had, like, a name of...
Oh.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
I remember that movie. But, like I said, the two kids, who are the main characters, I was, like, punch them both in the face. So that,
well, then again, that goes back to the whole, like, Transformers movie thing. You don't go there for the kids. You want to see, like... the toys, I guess.
Oh, yeah. No, but I remember that movie. Yeah, fine. Like, I saw that.
But really, what was fun for me, because, again, this movie came back when I first started getting into, like, collecting and things like
98,
that.
98? Yeah, you've been in
and,
it for at least a couple years.
Yeah. And when I was working in the theater at the time that the movie came out, and the manager... let me promote the movie. Like, I would put the standees up. I actually went out to, like, other, like, businesses
other
and put other businesses and put flyers out.
For real?
Yeah, like, promotional materials out at different businesses.
I didn't even know, like, theater workers
that was
did
the only
shit
time,
like that.
Dude, I'm telling you, that's, like, the only time we actually did something like that. You were there with me, but, like, we never did that stuff.
In 98?
No, not
then. They had already fired me.
But before that.
I quit.
Yeah.
I fucking, walked out. I threw my badge down the table and walked out. I took my badge and gun. Yeah, fuck those guys. I was never fired and sued by that theater. Anyways.
Revenge theory, yeah. Okay, so. All right, so that's one of mine that I want to give out there.
Okay,
for
that's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, here's another one I want to talk about. I can't find this anywhere. I can't find it on DVD. I don't even think it exists on DVD. And I used to have it on VHS. I think I rented it and dubbed it, and I lost that tape. Anyway, it's from 1994. It's called No Escape.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You've seen this movie? It's like a prison break movie.
Yeah.
It's like in this future, and there's a prison. It's basically an island, and they just dump prisoners on the island, and that's it. They don't monitor you. You're forced to come up with your own civilization, your own shit. It stars Ray Liotta.
Yes.
As our hero. He's like an ex-soldier, and there's like 700 people on this island, prisoners, and like 600 of them are these sort of like Mad Maxy type. They've formed this sort of sick society led by Stuart Wilson. He was a bad guy in Lethal Weapon 3. He was a bad guy in Teenage Mutant Ninja 3. He was a bad guy in a lot of shitty part 3s. He was and then he escapes them. He goes to like the good guy camp, which is run by my man Lance Henriksen, and then my other man Ernie Hudson. A lot of cool people in it, and the whole movie he's trying to get off this prison island. It's kind of like Papillon, but with action. Pretty cool movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember it really fondly.
I think I may have seen it once, but man, it's been... You said what year it came out? 94?
94.
Yeah.
Ray Liotta's the hero, and at that time, I think all I knew him from was Goodfellas. And I didn't really buy him. I think he's...
I like to say, when you say Ray Liotta's a hero, I was like, huh?
He's an action hero. He's a former, like, Delta, like, a former Special Forces guy. He's supposedly, like, a badass. And I never... nothing against Ray Liotta. He's a great actor. I think he was a little miscast.
Yeah.
I think he was just coming off a really successful movie. He's like, what do you want to do, kid? We're going to make you a star. We're going to make you an action star. You know, And so they put him in this movie, and I don't know if it did well or not at the box office. I don't think it did, because, like I said, I can't even fucking find this movie on DVD anywhere.
So I think it answers your question.
That probably answers my question, and the fact that I never met another fucking person who's, like, pretty much ever who's seen this movie unless I personally showed it to him when I was in high school. But No Escape, man. If you have a copy of it, you can feel free to send it to Pop Culture Rewind, care of Walla Walla Washington. Anyways,
Walla Walla Washington.
I don't know. But yeah, No Escape. Also a young Johnny Drama himself,
okay.
Kevin Dillon, is in this. Pretty young too. It's kind of cool to see. But yeah, okay. Real quick, yeah, No Escape. It's a prison movie. Gets out of the prison. Spoiler alert.
Well, thanks. Now I don't want to see
it. Oh, damn it.
I fucked it up.
You had me on the very...
you were all into it. And,
I was on Amazon right now looking for it.
If you could find it, let me know, man. I can't find this shit nowhere. I don't even have this on VHS anymore. I lost that tape. I haven't seen this movie in like 15 years.
Wow.
Anyways. What's one of yours?
All right. Well, let's see. I said most of mine are from the, 98-99, but let me go back. I do have one current early one from the early 90s. From 1991, Drop Dead Fred.
Oh my god, you know what? yeah. I know this man. Phoebe Cates, right?
Yeah, Cates, yeah. And Rick Mile is a British actor. He played Fred. Which is basically, Drop Dead Fred is an imaginary friend of Phoebe Cates when she was a little girl. And when she grows up, she forgets about him, whatever. And then
I've actually never seen this
really?
Movie. Really? I know of it. Never seen it.
Wow, I never heard you say that before.
Does he become real, or was he always real?
That's the one thing that's weird about this movie. Like, I never.
Oh, it doesn't say?
I never could tell.
Oh, you just couldn't tell. It probably says in the first 5 minutes.
No, because it's imaginary, so you can't. The other people can't see him.
But maybe they explain. I mean, he doesn't like affect her life physically?
I don't think so.
He can't.
I need to go back and revisit the movie, honestly, but. Well, because he would always get her in trouble when she was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she went to a psychiatrist, and they made her forget about him and everything. And and then when she becomes older, something happens, and she sees a Jack in the Box, and she opens it up, and it brings back memories, and she brings her back, whatever. So
interesting.
there's one joke in there. As a kid, I don't get, I didn't get it, but like when I heard it again when I was adult, I laughed my ass off. Like, she's got, like, a overbearing mother all over her, very strict and everything. And she's, like, there's one scene where she's doing dishes and everything, and, like, Drop Dead Fred's on the floor, and he, like slides up under her when she's wearing a dress, and he looks up, he looks over her, and she says, "Cobwebs." So
like, oh. Ugh.
Yeah.
No, I remember seeing trailers for this, and I remember, and I know this movie, Drop Dead Fred, Phoebe Cates. Never actually sat down and watched it.
This might be a case of no escape where it's kind of hard to find now just because it's...
Maybe. Yeah. Anyway, when you were describing this to me, it reminded me of the movie just right now, and I just checked it. It's 1993, so it falls within my little personal parameter of early 90s. Heart and Souls? Oh, God. I saw this, like, once as a kid, like, when it hit video in, like, 93-94, and then I... didn't see it for years, but I remember liking it. And then it was on HBO Go, and I watched like 2 years ago, and it was still really good, really funny. Niagara Falls for a lot of scenes, really sweet movie. It's about it's got Robert Downey Jr. It's about a little kid. He was born like in the 50s or 60s, and there was a bus accident, and 4 people in that bus died, and their souls just all...
I know what you're talking about now.
Sort of attached themselves to this little kid.
Yeah,
and they're stuck within like a 20-foot radius. They're always around this kid. And they're like his imaginary friends, even though they're actually really ghosts. Nobody can see them but him.
Right.
And they're getting him into trouble, like you're saying. That's why I kept thinking about this movie. And then the parents are like, "We got to take him to therapy, and he's got to learn this isn't real." And then the ghosts amongst themselves talk amongst themselves, because Robert Downey is very verklempt. So they're like, "We got to make themselves invisible so we don't fuck this kid's life up." Fast forward 30 years, he's Robert Downey Jr., and he's like a sleazy 80s, go get him kind of a guy. And they're still invisible. And then, like, David Paymer shows up, and he says, like, "Okay, we're going to heaven." They're like, he goes, "Why didn't you guys, like, right your wrongs on Earth? That's why you're attached to Robert Downey Jr., so you can, like, right your wrongs." They're like, "What the fuck? You didn't tell us that." So he goes, "Okay, you got, like, a week to right all the wrongs you did in your life using Robert Downey as your vessel, your corporeal being,"
yeah,
I think is the word they use. So then they show up to Robert, and he's like, "What the fuck? Like, I thought you guys were figments of my childhood imagination." And then one by one, he's helping them right their lives. So it has like a feel-good vibe. You know, all these people are getting this closure that they never got. Yeah. Tom Sizemore, Charles Grodin, Kira Sedgwick, and Alfred Woodard, I think, are the 4 ghosts. And they're also helping out Robert Downey. He's got a relationship with Elizabeth Shue. Sweet movie.
Yeah.
Oh, God. There's this one scene. I'll talk about this one scene and move on. But when they were a little kid, they would sing "Walk Like a Man." "Walk like a man."
Oh, yeah.
And they
had
like a dance to it and everything as they were kids. And then when they're older and they're trying to like, "Come on, you remember the dance?" And Robert's like, "No, I don't want to." And they start singing it, and Robert sort of grudgingly, "Okay." And he's walking down the street doing this strut, doing this dance with his four ghosts, all choreographed. Yeah. It's the sweetest thing, dude. And that's a great song anyway. Oh, I love this movie. I've seen it like twice in my life. Once when I was a kid, once like 2 years ago, and I still loved it then. But when you mentioned Drop Dead Fred, it made me think of this one. So, damn it. That takes one of mine. I had to bump one of mine for this one, but it's worth it because I love Heart and Souls.
You said ghost, and I just thought of...
Ghost?
No. Ghost Dad.
Oh, God. This is, I've never seen it. I know of it. Bill Cosby, right?
Yeah. And because it was Bill Cosby, my parents took me to it in theater when it first came out.
You seen Ghost Dad? Is it good?
No.
I've never seen it. It's probably...
Directed by Sidney Poitier. Really?
Are you fucking kidding me?
Wow.
All right, Bill. I want you to play this like you're a ghost.
Dad. Right.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Ghost Dad.
That wasn't my... That I just thought of that just now, but...
Would you want to take another one, or...
Did you
just... Well, I mean, because I Heart and Souls was mine.
Oh, okay.
You want Ghost Dad to count for one?
No. God, no.
Okay. Because right after I mentioned No Escape, it made me think of another one. It's another prison break. It's another futuristic prison break movie.
Okay.
What? You got that look?
No, like, but I think.
You think of. Okay, it stars Christopher Lamb.
Yep.
Bear. Okay, I didn't even have to. Can I finish the fucker's name? Christopher. Okay, I say Christopher Lambert because I've always seen it written out, but right. I think he's French or something. It might be Lambert.
It's fucking Lambert.
Okay, Christopher Lambert. We're going to call him Lambert, but I acknowledge I don't know how to fucking pronounce that dude's name. Christopher Lambert. You might know as Tarzan from Greystoke. He's fucking Highlander. He's fucking Raiden. Love Christopher Lambert, man. Especially in the 90s, man. Christopher Lambert.
For what it's worth, I've always heard it called Lambert. I've never heard it called...
That dude was the shit. And he did this movie in 1992, directed by Stuart Gordon from Reanimator fame and Robot Jocks. We talked about Robot Jocks in our other episode. Right. It's called Fortress. And it's about a futuristic prison that is run by Kurtwood Smith.
Oh, Kurtwood
Smith,
okay,
Clarence Boddicker from RoboCop, or Red, I guess. A lot of people know him.
He's more known for Red.
He's like the warden of this futuristic prison. And again, Christopher Lambert plays this ex-Special Forces soldier. It was like a theme. It came out before No Escape. It's got 2 years on it. And so he goes to prison. Apparently in the future, there's like a lot of population control, and him and his wife dared to try and have a second kid after their first kid died. And for that, he gets prison time. And his wife also goes to the same as that prison. They're in, like, the chick section, the women's section. And it's a cool movie, man. It's a cool fucking movie.
I really want to revisit that movie just because I saw it.
I got it on DVD, dude. I bought it. I saw it in, like, a Best Buy one
time. Is it something that you would recommend to, like, anybody listening that hasn't seen the movie yet?
Anybody who likes good sci-fi.
Really?
It's a good sci-fi. I mean, it's a 90s sci-fi movie. That should sort of encompass what I'm talking about.
Does it take place in the future, which has already been past our time now?
I don't remember, like, the year.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is the year 2005? I don't know if it has one of those little openers with it. But there's, like, crazy robot technology and crazy cloning technology and shit. It probably takes place future.
Like 2015.
Yeah. 1990, who knows? In 1990... they might have predicted by 2015 we would have clones and shit like that, and AI and stuff like that. But you know, it's a cool movie. There's this cool the prison. This is one of the cool things I always remember. When you first get in the prison, they stick your head in like a guillotine kind of a thing,
like a collar, right?
No. Oh. You're all of a sudden your head is like trapped in this room, and they shove this thing down your throat, and they inject this like a cue ball sized shit, a ping pong ball sized shit called an intestinator. And it can cause you pain, it can track you like a GPS, it can fucking blow up and kill you if they're so inclined. There's a scene where he's getting in a prison brawl with a dude played by Vernon Wells, who was the bad guy in Commando, if you remember, Bennett. And then, you know, to break up the fight, they hit the intestinal button and boom, the dude's gut just blows up. And he's got this bowling ball size. What's up with me and ball metaphors? And he's got this bowling ball size hole in his gut because they can kill you like that.
Right.
And Jeffrey Combs. How do I forget fucking Jeffrey Combs is in it?
Well, you said Stuart Gordon.
The reanimator himself is in Herbert West. He plays, I think his name is D-Day, who's like this bomb maker guy. He's like the smart guy.
See, I've seen this movie in the theater, like I said that one time, but I was just a kid, so I didn't really know that Stuart Gordon directed it. So, man, now I really want to like just go back and double check.
Yeah, if you can't find it, let me know, and I'll let you borrow my DVD. But yeah, fucking, when I mentioned one Prison Break movie, I think Fortress is the better of the two. If you're going to watch one of these, I say check out Fortress. And if you're so inclined, check out No Escape if you can fucking find it. But yeah, Fortress, dude, good fucking movie.
Okay. All right, how about this one? From 1992, Death Becomes Her.
Oh, God. Love me some Death Becomes Her.
Directed by Robert Zemeckis.
Ah, dude.
Yeah. Was it Bruce Willis, Goldie Hawn?
And Meryl Streep.
And Meryl Streep, yeah.
The Meryl Streep.
Yeah, that's just... more, again, maybe... I don't want to say maybe guilty pleasure, but still it's just...
Dude, there's nothing guilty. That's a great movie, dude.
Yeah, it's funny.
Fuck yeah.
Even as a kid, there was funny parts to it, but then...
I'm not going to be apologetic about it at all, dude. Yeah. That's a great fucking movie.
So, maybe dude, you can explain...
And I had a... Isabella Rossellini's in this as the chick who owns the, okay, the form. Yeah. Oh, God. I remember I saw this movie as a kid in the River Center Mall. I remember which theater I saw it in, and all I could think about when I left was Isabella Rossellini in that jewelry bra thingy she was wearing. Oh, it was so hot. I go back and watch it now. It's not as hot, but for little kid me, it was so fucking hot. But yeah, basically, there's like a fountain of youth formula that makes you like immortal.
Right, right, right.
And Meryl Streep is, you know, she's getting a little on her years, and she, you know, she's very vain, and she wants to, you know, live, she wants to be young, wants to be pretty, whatever. She takes this formula, and again, Bob Zemeckis' movies, he's known for being very groundbreaking in visual effects. You know, Roger right. Rabbit and shit like that. And this one has some great, for its time, some great visual effects in this movie.
Well, because it kind of goes off the scale here for what this formula is that they're doing, and things start falling off, you know, parts.
Well,
know.
I mean, if you take the formula and you become young and rejuvenated, you're good to go, unless you die.
Yeah.
Because you can't die.
Yeah.
If you die, then you're going to, like, rot or something.
Right.
And, so, which, spoiler alert, some shit goes down. Meryl and Goldie, who are both taking this formula and are both all hot shit to trot, they end up, spoiler, they end up killing each other. And then,
remember,
but they're
rotting. Shotgun and a shovel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's some great visual gags. Oh, Meryl Streep's head, like, backwards under it, and Goldie's got, you know,
a shotgun.
She's got a hole, like a bowling ball? That's a weird metaphor. Size in her gut, because she gets blown away with a shotgun. Yeah, funny movie, dude. Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis, like, going crazy trying to keep these two women
together. But yeah, Bruce Willis, he plays this manic character. You know, he's a lot of fun, dude. This is one of the most fun roles he's ever had. He's not trying to be an action guy.
Right.
He's going straight for laughs in this role, pretty much. And he's funny.
Yeah.
He holds his own, like, comedically. Yeah. Good movie.
You say that like it's a surprise. I mean, it's
no,
Bruce
it's
Willis.
Not. Yeah,
it's
no,
Bruce
yeah,
Willis. He can do whatever he wants, pretty much.
I don't know. Yeah, okay. That you're right. That was a disservice to him. He can be funny. Even like doing action, he's funny. Even as John McClane, he's fucking funny. Yeah,
we'll have some laughs. Yeah,
come out to the coast, get together. Yeah. Oh fucking yeah, dude, that was a good one. Death Becomes Her.
But I just don't. And the reason I mentioned on here was because I don't think it's talked about. I mean, you don't hear that movie mentioned anymore, but I just that's why I thought that it would be necessary to mention on this particular episode.
You're right. I only hear that mentioned in like a retrospective about Bob Zemeckis or something.
Yeah,
like that. But yeah, that's
a little side note.
Yeah, and because he's got so many good movies like Back to the Future, Rubber Ridge, so many groundbreaking movies, that one sort of gets lost in the shuffle.
Right, right.
But
right
I think
right.
Yeah, you're right in that it deserves a mention because that's a good fucking movie.
All right.
Okay, I got one here I want to talk about. I like this one. And I watched it like
I hope you like it. That's why we're talking about it.
But I particularly like this one. Okay. I find this one of the list very watchable. It's from 1994. It's called The Getaway. Do you know this one? Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger.
Right.
A married couple at the time in real life.
Right, 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 right.
Playing a married couple in this movie. And it's, a little fun fact, this is a remake of a movie called The Getaway with Steve McQueen and Ally McGraw, I think. And at the time, Steve McQueen and Ally McGraw were married.
Oh,
so,
really?
So okay. This is a married couple, made an action movie back in the day. I don't remember when it came out. Cool movie, too, the old one. Filmed some of it in San Antonio. So years later, they remake it with another married couple, big power couple. Anyway, they're thieves, and they rob, you know, some shit, and they have to get away with the money. Simple, easy. And James Woods is in it. He's like the crime boss who sets them up. And the whole time they're getting chased by one of their crew. Michael Madsen's in it.
Oh, okay.
And he's another guy who's like hunting him down the whole movie.
So now you got my attention. You say Michael Madsen.
Michael Madsen's there. But Michael Madsen along the way hooks up with Jennifer Tilly.
Oh.
And she becomes a, ooh, okay. Like, okay, I thought that might not be a selling point. You like Jennifer Tilly.
So, well, parts of her.
Which parts? So Michael Madsen and Jennifer Tilly.
The left and the right one.
Are this couple, and they're hunting down this other couple, and Jimmy Woods is henchman, the lead guy, played by David Morse, who's also great. They're hunting them. And it's just a good, it's simple. Yeah. It's a simple movie. It's just this, they're trying to run, they're running from the cops, they're running from criminals, trying to get to Mexico with their money. You know, they got a bag of money, and they're running away. And it's just a simple, straightforward, good action movie, dude.
I don't think I know of it. I don't think I've actually sat.
Yeah, I mean, you got Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin.
Right.
What more do you want? And then you got Kim Basinger, who's. They've got some sexy scenes together, dude. Yeah. Big time. Like, we're talking like 90s erotic drama level sex scenes in this movie with them. Like Body of Evidence, Basic Instinct type shit. Because they were married, I guess they're like, oh, it's okay. We can get away with some heavy duty sex scenes in this movie. Now, there's other versions of this movie where the sex is a little tamer.
Right.
But there's versions of this movie where the sex, like, goes on for, like, a straight minute. And you're like, I'm literally watching Alex go down on his wife. But it's his wife, so I guess it's okay to watch this in a rated R movie. Whatever. But, yeah. If the straightforward action is a selling deal, you get naked Kim Basinger in the 90s.
I've already ordered on Amazon.
Yeah. Right. Naked Kim Basinger in the 90s. I should have just opened with that.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. But, yeah, fun, good. It's good. It's simple, and it's a good fucking straightforward 90s action movie, dude. I totally recommend it.
By the way, the Stephen McQueen movie, that was 1972.
72, okay, yeah. There you go. Yeah. So, yeah. I saw that once as a kid because I had seen this movie.
Really?
Yeah. And my dad was a big Stephen McQueen guy. He's like, yeah, let's watch it. Anyways, okay, well, there's another one, Getaway. Check it out if you can find it. And I don't think it's that hard to find, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's one from 1991. It's a fun one. 91. I think. You might be on your list, honestly. I don't know, but Toy Soldiers.
That's 91.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit! I thought that was older. Dude, I fucking loves Toy Soldiers. Dude, I told Sean Astin himself he was the bomb in that movie.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Remember that? We were just walking through the crowd. He was there side. I just yelled, yo, Astin, you was the bomb in Toy Soldiers, yo. And I got
you said it just like that voice, too.
Yeah, right? I got like a scattering of laughter and applause throughout the crowd. But yeah, dude, fucking Toy Soldiers, dude.
Yeah.
91?
Yeah.
Damn.
And that was a terrorist kind of takeover.
It stars Wes Wheaton.
Yes.
Wes Wheaton's in that movie.
Yes.
I like Wes Wheaton.
Why are you putting so much emphasis on H?
What? Will Wheaton? Will Wheaton plays in the movie?
Anyway. Yeah, it's Wheaton. Yeah, it's
Will Wheaton. Say wheat.
Wheat. Say wheat.
Yeah. Wheat. Say Will Wheaton. Will Wheaton. Anyways, if you know that gag, you know we're not trying to claim it as our own. Sean Astin, though, yeah.
And by the
before he got fat,
right? Yeah. The director. Damn. Director is Daniel Petrie Jr. He was actually the writer of the Beverly Hills Cops series.
All of
them? Yeah.
No.
So, cool. Among other things, but that's like the main thing that he's probably known for.
But okay, yeah. Well, really quick, give me this plot in a sentence.
Terrorists try to take over a school, and
wackiness ensues.
Yeah, the students, they're
this is like Die Hard at a boarding school.
Pretty much, yeah. this is one of those things where the terrorists aren't expecting the kids to kind of rally up and fight back. But.
Yeah, they don't like so much fight back like in a John McClane kind of a way.
Yeah.
They sneakily get information out to the soldiers and shit like that. But, yeah. You know, they don't just lie back and, you know, they don't just bend over and take right. it. But, yeah, you got Sean Astin, Will Wheaton, Keith Coogan from Vintage Babysitting and shit, and a couple other guys who never did much, and are like the students, and then the terrorists who are supposed to be Colombian or some shit like that. Some sort of, they speak Spanish.
Yeah.
Andrew Devoff is the head terrorist guy. He's awesome in this movie, dude. He's fucking awesome. And Michael Champion is like his
main henchman. He went on to do Wishmaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And A Low Down Dirty Shame. And a lot of other cool shit. I always think of it from this movie, dude, because he's the shit in this movie.
No.
Anderson Robert! He's just got this great. Now, that is an amazing dude. He's like half Russian, half Cuban, or some shit like that. He speaks like 9 languages. The dude's like a fucking incredible dude. Denham Elliott, you might know as Marcus Brodius from Indiana Jones, he's in it. And Louis Gossett Jr. as like the dean.
Yeah.
That's a cool movie. I remember watching it a lot as a kid. But I always felt awkward if my parents were walking or coming and going for the phone sex scene. That was the only time I was like, I hope my mom and dad don't walk through the living room during the phone sex scene.
Because it would be awkward for her.
For her. I'm thinking about my mom.
Right, yeah.
Think about her virtue.
Right, yeah.
She doesn't know such things.
You can't expose her to stuff like that.
Yeah. She doesn't know such ladies of the evening partake of such things.
Yeah.
dude, I love Toy Story. I don't know who does the score, but it's got some great music in it, too, dude.
That would be great music.
You know, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. God, great score, great scene, great movie.
Great flick. Great freaking
flick. Great flick. The guy is brilliant. totally, dude. Toy Soldier. Not to be confused with Small Soldiers.
Right. I didn't mean for that to happen.
Is that
Small
yours?
Toy Soldiers on my list.
Okay. Can I say one?
Sure. Go ahead.
My bad. I'm just sorry. No, I didn't mean to impose.
Oh, no.
I'll just go fuck myself. Okay, I got one here. It's from 1990.
Okay.
Cutting it close here.
Yeah.
It's I always knew this movie. I don't know if I mentioned this before. Maybe just to you personally. Maybe on the show. I always know this movie as being called I Come in Peace.
Okay.
But it's known over the world mostly as called Dark Angel. Not to be confused with the James Cameron, Jessica Alba vehicle TV show of Dark Angel in the 90s.
I know it as I Come in Peace.
So do I. Yeah. I barely learned because every time I Googled this name, I turned up nothing, and then I learned it was also called Dark Angel. Then I started searching under Dark Angel and got so much more information about this show. It's a cool fucking movie, man. I think it takes place in Houston, which I think I was living in Houston at the time. It's got Dolph Lundgren, he's a cop in Houston. And apparently, like this alien, he looks like a dude, so he's not like alien or Predator. This alien he wears a trench coat, comes to Earth. Cause he's a drug dealer. He's a drug dealing alien. He snags up a bunch of heroin from a drug deal, and he goes up to like random people in an alleyway, and he like shink, like RoboCop Spike, injects their head with heroin, and he gets you really fucking high. And then when you're really fucking high, he spouts this hose from his wrist and he injects it into you, and he sucks out like the endorphins that your brain is generating when you're high. And on his planet, that is the drug, that chemical that our brain produces. So you can only get this chemical by getting people high and then sucking their brain juice out. And he sells that shit on his planet, on alleyways. He opens up his coat, like, hey, my man, you want something? I got some real fly personal hygiene equipment here, shit. So he sells that shit on his planet. And Dolph Lundgren is the cop who gets saddled with a by the book FBI agent. This is the most cliche.
Right.
As far as a buddy cop thing, this is the most cliche. He literally even says, regulations state that we call back in. Brian Benben plays this Fed who Dolph Lundgren gets saddled with. I like Brian Benben, man. He was in Dream On. You remember Dream On on HBO, dude?
Oh, yes.
That show fucking rocked.
Yeah, okay.
So Brian Benben sucks in this movie, but I like Brian Benben, so cut the brothers some slack. But It's as far as a cop buddy cop thing, it sucks. It's clearly the loose cannon, but breaking rules cop versus the straight edge cop cliche that we've seen a million times.
Mm-hmm.
So that part sucks. But Dolph chasing this alien, and the alien's got this cool thing where he shoots like these CDs out of his CD shooter, and they're like blades, and they zoom around the room and cut throats and shit. And this is before CDs were like fucking CDs, so it looked cool to see like zoom this CD fucking cutting motherfuckers' throats. It's a cool movie. It's pretty fun. Just not a great movie. Not like Getaway is a pretty solid movie.
Yeah.
This one's got a lot of holes, got a lot of flaws. But as far
this is
as
fun
the,
to watch, right? It's just kick back, eat some popcorn, whatever.
Yeah, but this falls more as far as the nobody talks about it. that requirement, put it in the list. It's not so much. I'm not going to tell you go out and check the movie. Go watch Fortress, No Escape, or Getaway if you got some time. If you got some more time, check out this movie. But yeah, I just want to mention it because this is...
Basically, don't blame you if you don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. I'm just putting like a little disclaimer. I'm not endorsing this as a great movie. This is mostly nostalgia goggles.
Right.
But Dolph's in it. He's got black hair. So that's worth checking it out if you want to see what Dolph looks like with black hair. You know what? Fuck that. Go rip Punisher instead.
Yeah.
Right? Is that 90s?
No, it's
80s. Is it
80s? Yeah.
No, you're right. It is. No, it's 89 because it came out the same year as Batman did.
Yeah.
So it was like Marvel and DC each putting out their own respective movies. If Batman, DC might have had the edge that year.
If Batman didn't come out, Punisher would have taken it home.
Yeah. Yeah, blame Batman for it. But yeah, DC was on top of the world like, we got these Marvel motherfuckers by the ball. Because that's how the DC executive talks, apparently.
Right.
Yeah. And then fast forward, 2015, dude, DC's... just crying and peeing themselves in the corner.
They're still saying,
Why can't we be as good as Avengers?
But we did Batman.
Fuck Batman. Dude, I really want to do a Batman episode. I really want an hour and a half to rip on those movies. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. What's one of your movies here before I keep going?
All right. This is more of a fun movie. I'm going to say it's funny. I like it. Half-Baked from 1998.
Dude.
Dave Chappelle.
Great movie.
Oh yeah. You know what?
We saw this in the theater.
Yes.
In high school, yeah.
And I laughed my ass off. It's you know, it's a stoner movie pretty much. That's all they do in this whole movie. I don't do drugs, anything like that. But for me, just by itself, I still found the funny.
A solid comedy on it.
Exactly,
yeah.
Yes. It's a solid, that doesn't affect the viewing of the movie pretty much. Because there's some movies that are like that, but it's like solely based on that.
And yeah,
it kind of takes away from the overall movie itself. But for me, maybe it's the actors involved. Dave Chappelle is really funny. Jim Brewer,
yeah.
And oh, the guy
I never liked him anything but that.
Exactly, yeah. Because you know, every time I see him do other stuff, I feel like he's doing a character, like a version of this character that he's doing in this movie.
So. I can't remember the dude who played. He was like the patrolman cop in Dumb and Dumber, and he was the 7 Minute Abs in Something About Mary. I can't remember that guy. Harlan Williams.
Yes.
He's the guy who goes to jail. Everybody's funny in this. Everybody.
That's why I think I gravitate more to the actors in this movie more than anything else.
Yeah.
But some of the gags in there are funny. Dave Chappelle was just on a roll in that movie, and that was that was before like everybody knew.
Custodian dick. Yeah, it's a very quotable movie.
Oh yeah,
and cameos out the ass, dude.
Yeah,
fucking John Stewart, Jeanne Garofalo, fucking Willie Nelson, Snoop. Yeah. Dude, just a shitload of cool cameos in this movie, dude.
Stephen Wright is the guy on the couch.
Stephen Wright, the guy. Dude, yeah, the guy.
The guy.
Why don't you ask your friend the guy for some rent money and shit?
What was the guy that called everybody B?
Scarface?
Yeah, Scarface. Yeah.
Guillermo Diaz.
Yeah.
Scarface, yeah.
Yo, he's Cuban B.
Yes, Cuban B. Clarence Williams. Yeah, as a bad guy, yeah. But yeah, dude, I'm not a huge Chappelle Show guy, and that's mostly what he's done lately that people know him from, but I do love him in this.
That's what I'm saying. This came out before all that, and this is what... Because it was this and Con Air that really got me paying attention to Dave Chappelle.
Nutty Professor.
To an extent, yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm saying he was in that. Yeah. Like that raised the public. But yeah, he's funny. I don't want to be the first nigga to die from a crossbow. Sarah Silverman's sister, Laura Silverman, she plays I'm a big dyke. I'm gay. That girl.
Oh, yeah.
She's part of the Sarah Silverman show.
I didn't know that she was her sister or anything.
Yeah, yeah. That's a funny movie, dude.
And it's basically about they're trying to sell drugs to get their buddy that you just mentioned out of jail.
Yeah, they're not bad guys.
Yeah, they're just trying to sell some weed.
So. Yeah, dude, that's a good movie, dude. That holds up. I haven't watched. Bob Saget has that.
Oh, God.
That might have been the thing that sparked this odd coolness he had in the second act of his career.
Yeah, I think so.
Because, like, at the time, he was only Danny Tanner to everybody. Because he's really a dirty man in real life. He's a great comedian.
Right. Have you ever listened to any Bob Saget's stand-up stuff?
I've seen him live, dude.
Have you?
Yeah, he's hilarious. But at the time, you know, he started out as a stand-up comic, and he just happened to get a good paying gig on a show on ABC, and next thing you know, that's his career. And Funniest Videos, right. Which is, again, family shit.
Yeah.
And then he got out of those two things. He was free to do his own thing. And this, I think, might have been the first time I ever was like, holy shit, Danny Tanner's like, I used to suck dick for Coke.
Yeah.
You ever suck some dick for marijuana? And you're like, holy shit, like Danny Tanner's talking about sucking dick. And that blew my mind.
It blew everybody's mind.
It blew a lot of mine, yeah, probably. And then after that, he was sort of free to pursue his stand-up and shit like that, and in which people were realizing what a lot of people knew in the 80s was he's a fast-talking, dirty motherfucker.
Yeah.
But, yeah, dude, fucking, that's a good one, dude, Half-Baked. totally holds up. Okay, I got another one. This one, I Come in Peace, was directed by a dude named Craig R. Baxley, who did a lot of he did a lot of stunt work on TV movies and TV and stuff like that. And then he did I Come in Peace. Well, he did Action Jackson. Then he did I Come in Peace. Then after I Come in Peace, he did a movie in 1991 called Stone Cold.
Oh, okay. Brian
the Boz.
Yeah,
Brian Bosworth. Yeah, dude. I fucking love this movie with Unforgiven. I think this movie is fucking awesome. This may even be like my most favorite movie on this fucking list. Oh, okay. Don't quote me on that. I'm looking at my list now, and all of a sudden
I know you don't like favorites. So
I want to retract. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. But dude, I got nothing but love for it. Even Boz, who may be the weakest link in this movie, is a very passable action star. He was a football player.
Right, I remember that, yeah.
He's got a pretty sweet mullet in this movie too. It's about a guy, he's a cop who goes undercover amongst a bunch of bikers to infiltrate the bikers and take them down. Take them out. Do your stuff. So Brian Bosworth is this cop. And he infiltrates a biker gang called the Brotherhood, which is run by Chains, played by, again, Lance Henriksen. My man, Lance Henriksen. Are you sold yet? And Lance Henderson's like number one lieutenant. He's called Master of Arms is his rank. William Forsythe, plays Ice. So it's just a fucking cool movie. A lot of good action. A lot of good chase scenes. So it's a little over the top. It's like Michael Bay probably loves this movie. You know, there's a scene where this motorcycle, the guy is on like a seventh floor of a courthouse, and he's driving this motorcycle, and it goes flying out the window, and it hits a helicopter in midair. But right before, like a second before it hits the helicopter explodes. So shit like that. But you don't even care that the helicopter blew up just before the motorcycle hit it. But it's just a fun movie with some good action sequences and some good lines and shit. And it's got some 90s titties thrown in there and stuff like that. So, but dude, I fucking love this movie. Sam McMurray plays played Brian Minman. He plays like the by-the-rules FBI agent who gets, the cop gets saddled with a fucking straight-edge FBI agent played by Sam McMurray. From Tracy Ullman Show, a lot of other good shit. But yeah, dude, Stone Cold, fucking love that movie. It holds up. I bought that on a disc, but it was one of those double discs that came with two movies.
Yeah.
The other movie on that disc is also on this list. Okay, fuck it. Mind if I take this one?
Sure, go ahead.
The other movie on this double disc, maybe you could find this double disc. It's fucking worth it to buy this double disc. I keep on to say double dare. This fucking double disc... is a movie directed by Mark L. Lester. Came out in 1991. If you don't know Mark L. Lester, he also did Commando.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the greatest action movies of the eight fucking all time. He did a movie, it's a movie called Showdown in Little Tokyo.
Oh, okay.
Do you know this movie?
Vaguely, yes.
It's awesome. It's not a sequel to Big Trouble in Little China. It's called Showdown in Little Tokyo. It is fucking awesome. Came out in 1991. Stars Dolph Lundgren again, my man. This time he's blonde. As he should be, right? He's a big fucking gigantic Swede. He should be blonde. So Dolph Lundgren is a cop who gets saddled with an FBI agent. No, he doesn't. He gets saddled with another cop played by Brandon Lee.
Oh.
So it's a buddy cop movie about these two cops, and they're forced. And they're in L.A. working a little Tokyo town, I guess. Is that a thing in L.A.? I've heard of Chinatown. Never heard of Little Tokyo. Maybe it is. I don't know. We don't live in California.
Yeah.
So fucking the head of the Yakuza, mm-hmm. whatever the fuck, Dracula, whatever you want to call it, is run by Kerihiro Yokudagawa.
Who?
Fucking Shang Tsung, man. You gotta... This bitch is gonna get off. Anyway, fun fact, Shang Tsung's like head lieutenant is fucking Tatsu, so that's cool.
Hey!
Oh, yeah. But Tia Carrera's in this too, and I gotta say, man, I have never seen a set of nicer tits than I did on Tia Carrera's body double.
Yes.
There's a sex scene where it's very obviously not Tia Carrera. Like, they show her face, she's like, and then cut to Dolph Lundgren having sex with no expression on his face whatsoever, and then it cuts to, like, from the shoulders down of, like, a very lovely pair of breastises.
Anyway. Yeah, there was a... You showed this movie to me a couple years ago.
Showdown?
Yeah.
I did?
Yeah.
You know where? At my place? Oh my god, I don't even remember that. Was I drunk at the time? No. But yeah,
but anyway, that's where I watched the movie at. So
yeah. Well, the fun thing about this movie is Dolph plays a dude who was like raised in Japan, so he speaks Japanese. He's all about the kung fu shit. And then Brandon Lee plays a dude. He even there's a line where Dolph's giving him shit like how come you don't know shit about your culture? And Brandon's like, my culture? Let me tell you something, champ. I was raised in the valley. My dad's a white guy. I know about malls. So Brandon Lee is like the whitest. He's a fucking Twinkie.
Right.
You know, he's yellow on the outside, he's white on the inside. And Dolph Lundgren is the guy who knows all about the Asian shit. And there's this, the climax of the movie, God, I'd rather not talk about it, but Dolph gets ready to like storm the bad guy's compound and shit. And he gets full Karate Kid on. He gets the headband and he gets the kimono.
Right.
And it looks a little silly to see this gigantic fucking Swede wearing like shitty karate gear.
Right.
Doing kung fu kicking. But beyond that, it's a cool ass fucking movie. A lot of cool Japanese, you know, actors, Al Leon and James Liu. They all got the big Yakuza tattoos. A lot of really good action set pieces. Good. This is another good 90s fucking action movie, dude. Showdown Little Tokyo. It's fucking worth your time. If you can find it on the double DVD combo pack set.
You're trying to say Double Dare again.
Double Dare. If you can find it attached with Stone Cold. With Stone Cold, fucking buy it, dude. It'll probably be $5 at Walmart. All right, what's one you got?
All right, I'm gonna go with another comedy here.
Okay,
from 1996, High School High with John Lovitz.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah, the spoofy.
Yeah, it was like a spoof of the because in the 90s there was a lot of urban troubled teen.
Yeah, this was spoofing like Dangerous Minds. I think Dangerous Minds was like the big thing
they
took.
Yeah, where the teacher would come in.
The substitute.
Yeah, they would come in to this gang-riddled school or whatever the case may be. And
cleans up shop.
Yeah. But it's John Lovitz.
To your career again.
Yeah.
There you go. I don't... Wasn't Scarface...
Yeah.
Guillermo Diaz again. Dude, it's all coming back. Yeah.
Yeah,
he was like the head gang.
And the funny thing, there was a gag about his name in this movie where
was it like Skidmark or something.
No. He's like he was trying to say his full name, and he like kept going on and on about.
Oh, wasn't like Juan Paco de la Vega Ramirez called Don Jose Carlos Rodriguez, something like that. It was like a big Spanishy thing. Yeah, I remember that. I mean, that might not be it, but shit, maybe that was. Where did I just pull that out? That was pretty impressive. Oh,
God. That was pretty good.
I remember. I think I was in the theater when this. Yeah, right.
96. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we were working in the theater. Maybe at the same time. Were you working there?
Mm-hmm.
I guess we both were. I remember this movie.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen it since it was in the theater though.
Yeah, I think I saw it not too long ago when on TV. So it was just
hold up.
As far as spoof movies goes, it is what it is.
Well, as far as 90s spoof movies go,
yeah.
Well, there is 80s spoof movies. Hold up like you don't believe.
There's some funny
good ones.
There's some
shots,
funny gags in it.
And Naked Guns.
Look, I'm a fan of John Lovitz, so if it's...
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of Tia Carrere, too, so it's just like... It is what it is.
Who was, like, the principal? Was it, like, a woman? Like, an older woman?
Was she the bad guy? Yeah.
I can't remember who it was, but... yeah, she was, like, the villain.
Yeah. You're right.
And there's like a car like playing chicken, and they're about to go off a cliff or something.
Oh, it was Louise Fletcher? That's who the principal was.
Okay,
the principal was. Oh, it has a Mekhi Pfeiffer in there as well.
That's right.
Yeah, she was
in everything back in the day.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. High School High, dude. I swear I haven't even thought of that movie.
Well, that's the whole idea of this podcast.
Yeah. No, you're right. That was a good pull.
But if it's one of those things where if you haven't seen the movie, maybe we're telling it to you about the first time, just definitely give it a shot. Check it out, you know, just to see if you like it as much as we do or at least heard about it, you know. But, you know, what do you got?
I got one, and I'm starting to wonder if I was even right about the Stone Cold Showdown being on one DVD. I'm thinking maybe it wasn't. Oh, fuck. Because I'm looking at this list, and the thing is, I think I'm confused because I had this VHS tape that had three movies on it. Three awesome fucking movies. And one of them was Stone Cold, one of them was Showdown Little Tokyo, and that's why I'm thinking maybe that's why I got confused.
Mm-hmm.
No! You know what it fucking is? You're right. I'm right. I'm right about the fact that I'm wrong. It's fucking Bloodsport and Showdown Low Tokyo Run a double DVD. That's what it fucking is. I think, again, don't call me on that. But
you almost had me convinced you were sure about that.
I had a VHS tape, and it was one of my most... This VHS tape was money. It had Stone Cold, and it had Showdown Low Tokyo, and it had another movie. And that's why I ended up adding all three of these lists. It's a movie from... Again, 1990, all three of these movies came out in 1991. It's a movie... It's an action movie called Ricochet.
Okay.
Do you know this movie from 1991?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
It's okay. Denzel Washington is like this rookie cop, and he takes down this criminal played by John Lithgow. And John Lithgow goes to jail, and then Denzel's career just shoots off. He makes detective. He graduates law school, becomes a DA. This whole time, John Lithgow's in jail. It's like Cape Fear. He's just fantasized revenge about getting out of jail and killing this cop who took him down. He organizes a little prison break. He gets out of jail and he starts framing and taking Denzel's life apart bit by bit, framing him for drugs and framing him for child prostitution, you name it. He's just destroying this dude's life. Fucking cool movie. Young Denzel, Kevin Pollak is in it too. He plays Denzel's partner, and Kevin Pollak in this movie manages to work in an impersonation of Bill Shatner and Columbo, because that's what Kevin Pollak does. But yeah, cool fucking movie, cool revenge movie. Ice-T is in it. I think this might have been Ice-T's like first movie.
Yeah,
he's still playing. He basically plays Ice-T. He's still got the Lokes on the entire fucking movie and shit like that. But yeah, cool fucking movie. It's called Ricochet. I don't know why it's called that. It's just not like any bullets ricochet off any kind of shit. But yeah, man, Ricochet. And it was in that magical VHS tape of three like cool movies that we would play. We put the tape in and let the whole tape play. Watch all three movies, rewind it, watch all three movies again. Like, those three movies got a lot of play when I was a kid because they were all on the same VHS tape.
Well, since Denzel Washington can't make a bad movie, I would assume that this is a good movie. So,
you're right. I was like, what about... I'm trying to think. Virtuosity? That's not even a bad movie. That's an okay movie. What about the one with the... Something about time? Time's in the title. I don't know. You're right. Denzel Washington. The guy's... Yeah, okay, fine. He's fucking awesome.
Alright.
Fucking Book of Eli.
I like that one.
I like it for like 95% of it until the very, very end.
Mm.
And that last 5 minutes fucks the entire movie up.
Yeah.
It's like retroactively creates like a tidal wave of like...
Hatred.
Yeah, well, you see like movies where like time travel changes and like, oh my god, the events of this current time are changing. It's like that. It's like a time tornado, time storm, you know? And it's like, it goes washing away all the goodwill the whole movie garnered with those last fucking 5 minutes. And if you've seen Book of Eli, you know what I'm talking about. Fuck that, dude. That movie went for a cheap Shyamalan-y shit at the end and fucked the whole movie up. Fuck that movie. Anyways. What do you got?
Well, I had to follow that one. I know a good way of following that one. With Fallen.
Oh, okay. What year did that come out?
1998.
Okay, we talked about it a little bit once.
We
were talking about Lies with Tails.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
And that's all you need to know.
Yeah. Well, okay, what's this movie about real quick? Pitch it to me.
Basically, they have a serial killer. At the very start of the movie, he's getting the death sentence.
Yeah.
And they kill him, and... after he's dead, first of all, Denzel Washington and John Goodman are detectives.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that put him behind whatever. But after they kill Elias Ocasio, they find out that there's the killings that he was supposedly doing are still going on, and we find out that it's actually the
Azazel.
Azazel. Anytime you touch someone that goes into
it's like
another
a demon,
person.
Like a spirit.
Yeah,
a
demon.
Yeah.
The spirit goes into another person whenever you touch somebody.
Yeah,
and so you never know who's. Where the demon's at, and it's
I think it's like a scene where he's like in a crowd, and it's like,
right, yeah,
we're just going from person to person, and Denzel's like darting his head around like an idiot, like what the fuck, he can't even track the demon because every time he goes in a person, like it looks at Denzel, yeah. Lets you know like I'm in this person, but it's like I can't track this shit,
right?
I'm Denzel.
But yeah, that was directed by Greg Hoblit, who did Primal Fear, Heart to War, things like that.
Primal Fear is a badass movie.
Yeah, so which is saying a lot because it's. Got Richard Gere, but
Scott Ed Norton or young Ed Norton.
Yeah, there you
go. Knocking it out the park, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking Ed Norton.
Yeah, that's true. Movie. Yeah, Ed Norton, he tops Richard Gere on that one. So, but anyway, yeah, Fallen, that's an excellent movie. I definitely recommend checking that one out. Good cast. Good thriller, mystery?
Thriller.
Yeah,
I think it's a thriller.
Yeah.
Yeah. Time is on my side. If you know this movie, if you've seen this movie, you're like, fuck yeah, that's like
hell a thing on this movie. Yeah. So that's definitely a little gem from the 90s for me.
Okay, well, speaking of Denzel.
Really, again? No. Oh.
He was in a movie called Ricochet.
Right.
Starring Ice-T.
Right.
Speaking of Ice-T, Ice-T was in a movie in 1994 called Surviving the Game.
Okay.
Have you seen this one?
No.
You know it?
Yeah, I know it, but I haven't seen it.
Okay, this Ice-T is like a homeless guy, and Charles S. Dutton, if you know who that is, he had a TV show on Fox called Rock.
Yeah.
Cool actor. He comes up to him, he's like, hey man, I can get you a job. We go hunting, me and my friends, come out. Go hunting with us. Ice-T's like, you know, what the fuck? That was terrible Ice-T, by the way. That was terrible Ice-T. Yo, what the fuck? That wasn't even Ice-T-ish. So Ice-T fucking goes with all these dudes and, hey, fools you. We're actually hunting your ass. He's the prey. It's a hunting a man for sport kind of movie. If you go to the video store, you'll find it in the hunting man for sport section. So the bunch of other dudes who are hunting him, you got Gary Busey, Rutger Hauer, John C. McGinley,
yeah,
Oscar winner F. Murray Abraham. You got some good actors all hunting down Ice-T for out in like the forest and the mountains and shit like that. And the whole movie is just Ice-T running for his life while all these dudes hunting. And that's it. Again, fairly straightforward plot, fairly straightforward action movie.
Is it the same tale as Most Dangerous Game, where it's basically you're just one man's being hunted by other people? It's pretty much what
that's a movie.
Yeah,
Most Dangerous Game.
Yeah, the Most Dangerous Game, old movie from the 30s. Basically, Hunter arranges for a ship to be wrecked on an island where they can indulge in some sort of hunting and killing of the passengers. So it's pretty much where you're hunting other people just for the sake of it. Yeah, but it's been carried on to like different iterations.
Okay. Over the years. Yeah, I said like hunting humans as if it's like a cliche of a plot almost.
Which it is. Most Dangerous Game.
Apparently, yeah. good movie. Check it out. I just want. There's just one awesome scene early in the movie where they're all having dinner before Ice-T's getting hunted. And Gary Busey, he gets this monologue where he gets his crazy is unleashed properly.
Gary Busey's monologue? You got my attention, sir.
Dude, Ice-T's like, yo, how'd you get that fucked up scar up under your eye? And Gary Busey goes off in this awesome speech. I used to be able to do this as a kid, this whole speech. I probably still could. I'm not going to presume to bore you with it. But he points at the scar. He tells him this whole story of about how he had to wrestle a dog to the death. His dog. I don't want to spoil it for you because it's a great scene. But the best scene in the movie. But Gary Busey gets this. By the end of it, he's acting out how he had to murder a dog. And he's breathing hard. He's pointing to the scar and explaining it. It's just a great. It's up there with Frank Langella's power. You know, unstoppable power speech. You know, it's just a great monologue. Again, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about Gary Busey acting out this scene.
Well, that's fucking awesome. That's something you don't hear every day.
Yeah, it's a great scene. Just watch the movie, and if by the time you get to that scene, if you're not invested yet, fucking turn it off. Although I don't know why you wouldn't, because there's still a lot more, like half an hour left of Gary Busey. Shit, spoiler alert. Point is, you got some great John C. McGinley acting crazy too. Everybody's movie's crazy. Everybody's movie. Every Abraham. God damn it. Every Abraham's going crazy. Rutger Hauer is like a very controlled crazy. Everybody in this movie's crazy. Ice-T's doing his best not to look like a shitty actor amongst these other actors. And he's failing at it. Ice-T is just being Ice-T. But, you know, whatever. You don't go for it for him. Basically, you could have taken Ice-T and replaced him with pretty much anybody. And the movie would have played. It would have worked. So, I'm not saying check it out if you like Ice-T. Check it out if you like a good, straightforward action movie with some good actors in it. And if you don't mind Ice-T. I guess that's the best. That's the best thing I can say about it. Okay, what's one of yours?
Well, I mentioned this in the past episode, but we're talking about this Most Dangerous Game, this movie right here. The Pest kind of took that same formula, being hunted.
Oh,
being hunted.
Yeah, you're right. It did. It did. Yeah. It totally did. But dude, what can we say about The Pest?
I just want to mention it again.
Okay,
go watch The Pest.
Go watch The Pest. I like. Dude, so, yeah. Dude, I'm not gonna again.
You used to be good at doing that.
I used to be good at that. I might still be good at doing that whole speech.
Yeah. But
I like that baby.
Okay. So here's one movie. Here's one movie. It's pretty funny. I mentioned the very first movie, Small Soldiers, had Phil Hartman. Another movie that I want to mention that had him on there, House Guest. It had 1995. It had him in a Sinbad. Yeah, when Sinbad was a thing.
Dude, I saw this in the theater, and I think I saw it a couple times when it hit DVD or DVD VHS. I haven't seen it since.
Yeah,
but I'd love to.
For a while, it would come on TV once in a while, and if I was flipping the channels, I would see it. I'd watch it. You know, it's one of those things where it's an enjoyable movie. Basically, Sinbad is basically a con man who gets in some trouble with some...
Is that what he was? He was a con man?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't even...
Well, he cons his way into Phil Hartman's house thinking...
But I mean, like, that... It's not like that was his job. He wasn't, like...
No, he owed money to, like, a...
like a crime guy.
Yeah,
like a crime lord. A criminal.
Yeah, and...
a crime guy.
So he's a crime person.
A crime man.
So anyway, yeah, he somehow finagles his way into convincing Phil Hartman to let him stay at his house.
I remember that Phil Hartman is expecting a house guest.
It's his friend. His old friend
from camp.
Yeah, from like 20, 30 years ago.
So he hasn't seen him since he was a kid. Who invites? Whatever.
All right.
It's been like, I haven't seen you since I was a little kid.
And it's the cliched stuff where Phil Hartman has the family who's dysfunctional, like the kids don't like him, he's got problems with his wife, things like that, and like this stranger comes in.
And Sinbad just fucking Mr. Belvedere's the shit out of this family.
Yeah, everything's up, yeah, as he's fixing his own problems, yeah. So, I mean, it's your...
Phil Hartman can't stand up for himself. He's like a George McFly.
Yeah.
And he gives him confidence and shit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm starting to remember this shit.
His daughter was... had an abusive boyfriend or something like that, or
who was like all Vanilla Ice.
Yeah,
and shit.
That's what it was.
I remember. God, he was a dentist.
Yeah,
or Sinbad. His cover was that he was a dentist, and he has to perform like a root canal or some shit,
right.
But he doesn't know how.
Yeah,
and through circumstance, it all like works out. Like, whoop! I got the tooth out or some shit.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh God. Yeah, Jeffrey Jones was in it.
Yes. Yeah.
He was like the dentist guy or something, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah. He had something to do with the dentist, yeah.
Something like that. Jeffrey Jones, yeah.
But I remember, like, one bit of... If anybody remembers Sinbad, his stand-up comedic thing, it was one thing he would always do was the McDonald's thing. He would always talk about... There was a gag about McDonald's. But anyway, they brought that into the movie. Like, he went to McDonald's and...
That was part of his stand-up?
Yeah.
Oh.
I actually watched some of his stand-up.
I love his stand-up, dude.
Yeah.
He was great. He worked totally clean.
Yeah,
totally clean. Which, as I was a little kid when I watched stand-up, so I can watch.
And I think it's what made it more accessible to a lot of people.
Yeah, you know? Dude, fucking Afros and Bell Bottoms is a great HBO special, dude. It holds up. It's funny as hell. Afros and Bell Bottoms. It's probably on YouTube.
Probably
check it out. Sinbad, Afros and Bell Bottoms.
He's a funny dude. I mean,
he's a funny dude. Yeah.
I don't know what happened to him, anyways.
I think maybe he refused to work blue and just couldn't maintain any relevancy.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, that's an enjoyable flick that I enjoy. So, I mean, yeah, if you happen to see it. It was directed by Randall Miller, who also directed another movie I was going to mention on this list. Class Act with Kid and Play.
Kid and Play. I love that dude.
Right?
Dude, I remember Kid and Play. That was a movie made just for the audience of people who liked House Party.
Yeah, which was going to be another movie that I was going to mention too, but...
Dude! House Party! I fucking love that movie. Was that 90s? Does that count? I think it does.
Yeah.
I think it's like 1990.
It's like
House Party. Kid and Play, Full Force. Fucking Martin Lawrence is the shit in that movie, man. Martin Lawrence stole that fucking movie.
He was the bomb in House Party.
He was the bomb in House Party, yo. Fucking the young... What's her face? She was in Martin, the show. She played Gina. Gina! Tisha Campbell.
Yes.
Young Tisha Campbell's in that movie.
But this actually came out in 1990, so yeah, it's right on the cusp.
What's the name of Robin, the comedian who played his father?
Robin Harris.
Robin Harris, yeah. Who went on to do Baby's Kids.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We don't die, we multiply. Fucking Robin Harris.
Baby's Kids would be there.
Baby's Kids. I'm not super familiar with Baby's Kids. I remember it would come on HBO. And I would watch it when it came on. I don't think I ever was so inclined to tape it and save it. But Robin Harris is a shit in House Party, though. I think he passed away not long afterwards.
Robin Harris, he passed away in 1990. Wow.
Yeah, like Mark. Right around that time. Yeah, dude. House Party, I got a lot of fucking love for that movie. It made me think that when I get older and I start going to parties in high school, I needed to know how to dance. Because apparently that's all you do in high school parties is just dance.
Right.
For like fucking hours. It's like, shit, I don't know how to dance. Not like Kid and Play.
I just remember that in the one scene where the cop is talking to him, hey, Eraserhead or something like that. Or
Eraserhead.
Yeah.
Before I knew anything about Eraserhead.
Yeah.
Those two fucking racist guys. I remember my favorite part of House Party was the three bullies. You know, you punk motherfuckers. Shit, you know, I smell pussy. They were all like a rap trio.
Yes.
Full force and shit. But yeah, they had that one guy Pee Wee who always talking like this, and then the two tough guys. I just remember thinking that they were really funny.
I need to revisit that movie.
Yeah, it's been years, but I think I watched that movie enough times as a kid. It's still up here.
Yeah.
It's still pretty. Yeah, I don't have to reach too far back to pull up some House Party. That was a good one though. I want to mention one more, not one more, but another one. I'm glad I got some time to get this one in here. So it's a comedy. Yeah. I haven't done too many comedies.
Right,
but yeah. I got a comedy.
Surprisingly,
here. I got a comedy. Most of my interaction,
yeah,
it's funny. But I'm gonna pull a comedy out for you.
It's action. It's funny.
Well, it's funny that they're all action. Right. But I got a comedy for you from 1992.
Okay,
it's called Stay Tuned.
Oh, is that with John Ritter?
The John Ritter, the late great great John Ritter.
I'm familiar with. I know of it, but just tell me a little bit.
Okay, yeah. John Ritter is like a suburban dad. He's got a couple kids, and he's like he's a couch potato. He just watches TV all day. So this guy, Jeffrey Jones, comes to his house and is like, "Hey, I'm going to give you this sweet satellite dish package in your backyard, free of charge." John Ritter's like, you know, so I say, "Sure." So John Ritter takes the fucking thing, and then he's getting all these like. Spoofy UHF-y type TV shows, and then the satellite dish like zaps him, and it zaps him and his wife, and it like sucks him into a TV world where he becomes part of this demented television show. It turns out Jeffrey Jones is actually like a demon working for Satan, and he's in charge of like Hell's Network television, and it's all about creating programming for the devil. And that's his job. He goes and he tricks people into like signing away their quote unquote their souls, I guess, in a way, like a metaphor for it. And he sucks them into this TV network.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so John Ritter, he gets jumped around from like film noir movies to a cartoon to like Dwayne's Underworld. And like he jumps around all these. What's that show that took place in the fucking cold? Oh, fuck. It was with the guy was on it, and the guy was on the SNL episode that happened to have Nirvana for the first time. It's the only reason I fucking know who that guy is. Who gives a shit? Point is, John Ritter is he's on this TV show. There's this spoof where he ends up in like a Three's Company type show, and they get these actors who look like Joyce DeWitt, Suzanne Somers. And there's another episode where he jumps into like Star Trek. There's a point where he's just jumping around all over the place. He winds up in like a Star, like he has a remote control. That's like a big plot. It's like click. He has this remote control, and you like click it, and he winds up in like another TV show, and he winds up in like a TNG, like a Star Trek TNG, and he's Picard, and he even touches the top of his head and feels he's bald. He kind of gasps and shit. And then Jeffrey Jones is like Data and Worf, and he's a Klingon dude or some shit. It's a fun movie because it plays a lot with, like, if you're a couch potato, you know, three men and Rosemary's Baby and shit like that, and Driving Miss Daisy, but they hit and run Driving Miss Daisy, and a lot of fucking gags in this movie. It's kind of like UHF, and they can just play with spoofs referencing TV shows and shit like that. It's funny. Eugene Levy's in it, too. He plays, like a lesser demon who Jeffrey Jones, like, fires, so he starts helping out, Northern Overexposure. That's what I was trying to fucking think of. It's like Northern Exposure, but he like gets frostbite or something, so it's called Northern Overexposure. That's what I was fucking thinking of. I still can't remember the name of that fucking dude, but I remember he hosted SNL when Nirvana showed up and rocked it. Dude, have you seen that Nirvana performance at SNL? It's fucking awesome. It's not the point here, but Stay Tuned. Stay Tuned. Fun movie. Check it out.
You want me to save you from this one?
Right. Please. You're supposed to be chiming in here, man. I got fucking diarrhea of the mouth going on here, dude. I'm dying here. You're killing me, Smalls.
All right, I got a really good one here for you. This might even close it up for us. I'm not sure, but...
You know what? I'm done. I'm going to let you dangle, twist in the wind for a little while.
All right, from 1999, directed by Ted Demme, who did Ref, Who's the Man, Blow, I'm going to say Life.
Eddie Murphy.
And Martin Lawrence.
Never seen it.
You've had...
Never seen it.
Really?
Never seen it. I'd never seen it.
Oh, that's such a shame.
You know what's fun? Who's the Man was on my list. Well, when you said directed by Ted Demme, I was like, oh, he's going to mention Who's the Man. But no, I didn't know he did that. I've never seen Life.
Oh, my goodness. Well, then you, my friend, need to go see that because we had mentioned on our from first to worst episode, Eddie Murphy.
This is good, Eddie.
This is great. I'm surprised I didn't mention it on that episode. This is like the last...
Yeah, it feels so good. Why don't you fucking mention it?
To me, I'm scattered brain. Mm-hmm. It's we mentioned like hard R, you know, Eddie Murphy. This is probably the last one I've seen him in do that. You know, so I actually have it right over there. But it's basically about two guys. They kind of meet up to try to... I think it's Martin Lawrence tries to... No, excuse me. It's Eddie Murphy who tries to do bootlegging. This is back in like the 20s and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And Martin Lawrence is trying to just, you know, stay straight and everything like that, not get in trouble. And they get in trouble, and they get caught, and they get life in prison. And that's the name. Yeah. So they spend the whole... The movie's about them in... Like through the years, so it starts off they're young.
Yeah, doesn't it like span decades or something?
Yeah, they're young, and then by the end of the movie, they're old.
Still in prison.
Yeah, from like they've been moved around this and that, but yeah, they all. So it has some nice sweet moments in it, but it's just
I didn't even know it was rated R.
Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence together, oh
yeah,
that right there should sell it just by itself.
Well, you know, it's Eddie Murphy. Yeah, I there's no reason I've avoided this. It's just one of those like circumstances. It's just never come across my path. But you want to take Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence in a movie together? Do you remember fucking Boomerang?
I had Bernie Mac also, but yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember Boomerang?
Yes, I remember.
That's a fucking... I watched that like a year ago for the first time in years. And that's funny. Eddie Murphy's like a ladies' man.
Right.
And then he meets like Robin Givens, who's like a Manny's lady. Or whatever the opposite of a ladies' man is. But Martin Lawrence, David Lane Greer, his buddies.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those movies who's like... It's like the 90s equivalent of like the Best Man's Club or...
Okay.
Or one of those movies made for a very specific market.
Right.
I'll say. I don't know how to politically correct say that genre of films. You know what I mean? Fucking The Barbershop.
Right.
Or, you know, those movies with those people. Okay. Okay, all right, I fucking shot myself. Okay, the fucking... No, I don't know how to... Fucking, like blaxploitation was a thing in the 70s.
Right.
And maybe that trend carries on in current marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And this was an example of that.
Okay. I get what you're saying.
The Madea movies and shit like that. You know, there's still a market for those specifically targeted demographics. And this was an example. It had everybody. Robin Givens, Halle Berry, Chris Rock, Grace Jones, Johnny Witherspoon. Every fucking buddy's in this movie who was like in the 90s of that persuasion. So yeah, Boomerang is funny, dude.
It's gonna be a hard edit.
Yeah, but also, like we just said earlier, Who's the Man, dude? That's kind of another one. Well, not so much really, because that movie was about just rap music, and at the time, rap was just entirely black people.
Which Who's the Man had Ed Lover and Dr. Dre.
Yes, not the rapper Dr. Dre, but the television personality
from
Dr.
Yo MTV Raps.
From Yo MTV, that's how Ted Demme. He was like. Directing
he did music videos, I think, right? Yeah. Or something for MTV.
I think he directed like Yo MTV Raps. Yeah. And also, the movie also has like Dennis Leary and Ken Ober,
right,
who were like MTV personalities at the time.
And that's when he went on to do Ref, which starred Dennis Leary also. Yeah. But that's a good movie too.
I've never seen The Ref. Kevin Spacey's in it, I know. Yeah. I've never, again, I would see it if it was on TV and I was flipping channels. Oh, fucking The Ref, I'll check this out, but it just happens to never come across.
We did back in December, we did a Christmas episode. We should have mentioned The Ref, or I should have mentioned The Ref.
It takes place at Christmas? Yeah. I never even knew that.
Yeah, it's again, going back to House Guest, you know when I was saying he kind of fixes everything? Same thing.
Because he holds a couple hostage, right?
Yeah, and they're on the verge of divorcing anyways. They hate each other.
Do you remember who the woman is? I know like Kevin Spacey is the husband. Was the woman somebody? And Dennis... I like Dennis Leary.
Judy Davis?
Oh, okay. But who's the man, dude? If you're into rap music at all in the 90s or 80s, actually even 80s rap too, who's the man has got everybody, dude? It's got fucking Ice-T. It's also got Bernie Mac and Bill Bellamy and shit like that. But it's also got Ice-T, Salt-N-Pepa, Criss Cross, Run DMC, fucking Busta Rhymes, fucking Naughty by Nature, fucking just everybody. Bushwick Bill. Just KRS-One, Heavy D, I'm trying to think. I said Queen Latifah and Salt-N-Pepa.
I can imagine the soundtrack would be just as well. I mean, just a stack, pretty much.
Yeah, dude. Just, but it's about like cameos, little bitty cameos, one line. So just a rapper shows up, says something, goes home. It's just a treat to see. Fuck, and you know, there are these two like urban. They're not rappers themselves, but they join the police force,
mm-hmm.
and they solve a crime. But because they're street guys. You know, they got, you know, they don't, she's they're like, marks. They're like Beverly Hills cops in a way, you know, right. They're like street cops. So, you know, it's their fucking police car, they put the hydraulics on it, so their police car is like.
That was in the trailer, I think.
Yeah, but it's bumping up and down the street, which is kind of funny. It's a fun movie for its time. It's a snapshot of that era, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy Who's the Man. I haven't gone back and watched it a long time. I don't know if it holds up, just on a movie on its own, outside of the rose-tinted nostalgia goggles.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I like organized crime.
Okay. So, I think that's... I had some other honorable mentions that I was kind of probably going to toss out there.
Okay, yeah. I had a few more I could have mentioned.
Yeah. Real quick, I did want to mention soft spot for Idle Hands, Mac 99, Seth Green. That was... what's the guy's name? Devin...
Sawa.
Yeah, Devin Sawa. Yeah. That's a good movie.
A young Jessica. Yeah. The guy I met was really hot in that movie.
Yeah.
Elden Henson, who's on Daredevil now.
Yeah. Do you remember Bullworth with Warren Beatty?
Yeah. I saw that once when it was new, and I think I liked it, and I don't think I've ever seen it since.
Yeah.
He's like a senator who just says, fuck it.
Yeah. He's like almost suicidal, pretty much. And
He starts like just says, fuck it, speaks the truth, and his like approval rating rises or something like that. I don't remember that movie too well.
And then one more I did want to just kind of briefly mention. Dark City, definitely honorable mention from the 90s.
Fuck yeah.
If you haven't seen it.
Beautiful movie.
Yeah. Directed by Alex Proyas, who did The Crow, I, Robot. He did some other stuff too.
Yeah.
But
Jennifer Connelly. So hot.
Jennifer Connelly is in it, so, I mean, don't even worry about what it's about. Just go watch it.
Because we couldn't sum it up. Succinctly, we couldn't do it justice in a summary in such and a plus, short amount of time.
And not to spoil anything either.
Yeah, that too. But great movie. Rufus Sewell, William Hurt, Richard O'Bannon, Riff Raff is fucking in it. That's a fucking awesome movie. I had a couple others I wanted to mention. It was one. It's another movie I didn't mention because I mentioned Stone Cold already.
Mm-hmm.
This is another movie about a guy who goes undercover in a biker gang. It's from 1993. It's called Beyond Law. Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen is a cop who goes undercover amongst a bunch of bikers to infiltrate them. So same fucking movie, just minus the action.
Yeah.
And it's not great. The head biker, as soon as I'm going to tell you, it's played by Michael Madsen. Michael Madsen's way too clean. He's got he looks like Mr. Blonde. He's got the Mr. Blonde haircut. I swear to God. It's like he was working on Mr. Blonde at the same time or something. But he's the head of a biker gang. And he looks way too fucking clean cut.
Hmm.
To buy him as a another one I was gonna mention when I was mentioning Ice-T, another one hit me was Trespass.
I've heard of that one.
Trespass. Mm-hmm. It's fucking William Sadler and Bill Paxton versus Ice-T and Ice Cube and a bunch of other brothers, including Tiny Lister and shit like that. And they're like holed up in a building while all these other guys are trying to get in at them. I can give you the plot, but it's a cool movie from 1992. Another one from I was going to mention from 1991, Hudson Hawk.
Oh, yes.
Okay, you like Hudson Hawk.
Yes.
So you're the guy.
Yes, I am.
Nobody likes Hudson Hawk.
I'm the
Hawk.
One that got the plot of the movie.
I love Hudson Hawk. Dude, and this is the one that I'm like, I feel like I'm always defending.
Like, yeah, I can see
why. I don't get it why people give this movie so much shit. This was like a bomb.
Yeah.
This is like a blemish on Bruce Willis's career. This is, you know,
to the point where I even forgot about it for my list I was making.
Yeah, dude, but it's fucking fun.
It is. It's a fun movie.
It's fucking fun, dude. Yeah. Danny Aiello is in it, and Andy McDowell and shit like that. And it's fucking, dude, Richard E. Grant and what's her name? The chick. Funny ball, Sandra Bernhardt.
Yes.
Them two as the villain, particularly Richard E. Grant, is hilarious. What can I say? I'm the villain. He's just he's so funny. They're both chewing. Everybody is chewing the scenery in this movie, dude. It's just so fucking funny. I can give you the plot, but I'm not going to sell you if I give you the plot about a cat burglar who has to steal Leonardo da Vinci's shit to work his alchemy machine to create gold to corrupt the market, to flood the market with so much gold and shit like that. It's a pretty stupid plot. There's a lot of good lines, and it's funny. I enjoy Hudson Hawk. One more that I had on my list. I might as well just throw it out since I have one more left. And I wasn't going to mention this because I went back and watched this not too long ago, and I was like, what the fuck am I watching? It did not hold up at all to me. And it's called Pump Up the Volume.
Oh, God. Is that Christian Slater?
Christian Slater. Yeah, yeah. Came out in 1990. DJ, right? Yeah. Well, he has a sort of a loser who's at home and sort of records a radio show for other people to tune in and listen to it. He's kind of a fucking loser.
So he's who would do something like that?
He's got like this radio or something, and he, you know, he finds a channel, and he's a high school kid, and I guess basically the point is he's like saying the shit that high schoolers identify with, and you know, fuck, parents just don't understand, and he's saying all this shit that all the high schoolers are like, yeah, yeah, totally, that guy gets it. Mm. Your parents don't get it, but this guy gets it. And maybe it's because I'm older now, but I'm like, get the fuck over it, dude, you little fucking pissant. I can't identify with him, but I guess because he's meant to appeal to other teenagers.
Right.
Maybe that's why when I was a kid, and I didn't even see this when I was a teenager, I saw this when I was like about to become a teenager.
Right.
So I was like, whoa, I was like Fry, like I can't wait till I'm old enough to feel ways about stuff, you know? And then my teenage years, I completely bypassed this movie, and then I saw it again a few years ago, and I was like, dude, and plus, this was at that weird moment in the 90s where the 90s hadn't gotten cool yet. It was still tainted with 80s shit, so like the music and the clothes and everything is like awkward. It's not quite cool yet type 90s movies, like Airheads is another thing where like, the 90s weren't quite good yet. Airheads, dude. That's a fucking... Although I think that still gets love. I think people...
Yeah.
But yeah, Pump Up the Volume is... I thought it was cool when I was a little kid. Mm. And then I shoot past. I'm already in my 20s or 30s. And then now I watch it. I'm like, dude, get a fucking... Get... Boo-hoo. Fucking my parents don't fucking pay attention to me or some shit. Get over it, dude. High school is so hard. You have no idea how easy high school is. In hindsight, you know,
right,
fucking, like teen movies were like, high school is so hard. Like Breakfast Club and shit, that stuff still resonates, but that was just done so well. But this movie is literally just boo hoo, I'm a teen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I could say
90s teen movies, that could be a good episode.
I would love to do 90s teen movies, dude. Yeah. Well, like, when I think of teen movies, my brain goes to like Breakfast Club and Ferris and Fast Times, but those are all
80s. Right.
But I wasn't a teen then.
Right.
You know, but the teen, because we had a big resurgence of the teen movie genre when we were teens in the mid to late 90s. It was just oversaturated. I think that's why it kind of came and went, because it got oversaturated really fast. Hollywood was like, fuck, kids are watching teen movies. Let's just churn a shit of them out. And then next thing you know, fuck, kids are tired of teen movies. Why? It's because we crammed too many of them down their throat, and they kind of went away.
Yeah.
There was like a period there in the late 90s where like, fuck, every other week was another like teen movie.
I was thinking about actually putting one on here that was a teen movie that we both love the movie, and I'm not sure if a lot of people taking our perspective out of it. I don't know if it holds up. Well, it does hold up for us, but for other people, Can't Hardly Wait.
I was waiting for you to say it. I don't know why. Dude, I fucking love that movie, dude. Yeah. That holds up like crazy. That was like right time
wise. That was for us.
Time wise. That was right smack. Yeah. That's like our.
Because we were seniors when that came out.
Yeah, it came out the summer.
Yeah.
And they're graduating high school.
Right.
So, yeah, I saw that. I watched the fuck out of that movie in the theater. I was working in the theater. That's,
but that's what I'm saying. It's not like a hidden gem for us. I mean, we know that movie. But I'm just saying, like, overall, I don't think
it gets... Do you think that movie doesn't get love anymore? Do you think it's forgotten? I think it... Well...
It's just...
It's there's no, like, it's hard to get a reading of what people know about teen movies in the 90s. Because I can't tell if something is considered well-received or not. Because how do you know?
Yeah.
Because all the teens at the time are all our age. It's not like we talk about the teen movies anymore. So how do we know if they're considered beloved or not? There's no barometer,
right,
for that.
Because it's more of a social thing. Like it's a timepiece, pretty much.
Yeah, you know? That'd be interesting to discuss and dissect and go back to.
I think so.
Interesting. Yes. Activist. Yes. Okay.
All right, so before we wrap up on anything, did you get all your list out that you wanted to make?
Yeah, well, there was one, and right before we started this, I did a little research, and I found it came out in 1989, which I was like, damn it, it didn't make the cut, but it's Disorganized Crime.
Mm-hmm.
Fun-ass movie about a bunch of criminals, and they're all strangers, and they all get, like, one guy pulls these four criminals into a job, and then that guy gets arrested, so these four stranger criminals are like, we don't know each other, but we're going to pull this job together. Kind of a thing. Fred Gwynne, Lou Diamond Phillips, Ruben Blades, and the Boy Meets World dad, whose name I don't know. I'm sorry. They're all pulling a job, and Al Bundy, Ed O'Neill is like a cop hunting them down. Fun movie from '89, holds up, I think, but it did. Technically, it didn't make the cut, but I guess fuck the rules because I'm talking about it. So,
well, ta-da.
But yeah, that was on my list. But anyways, but that was fun.
You think so? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Fun.
Yeah, that was fun. With that, I did want to say thank you for our listeners. If you're a new listener to us, thank you for tuning in. And you can always, check back on some of our older episodes we've done at popculturerewind.podbean.com. And always see what we're doing through social media, facebook.com/popculturerewind. And follow us on Twitter at Pop Culture RWND. So, with that, I think that's a wrap for this week's show.
That's a wrap.
So,
that's a Yo MTV wrap.
Ah, nicely done, sir.
Don't give me credit for that.
Well, you started the show with it. You ended the show.
Oh, did we start it? Oh, yeah, we did. Oh, that, you went. That, yeah, good.
Did you just raise the roof?
I did raise the roof. I don't know why I just did that. I was very proud. You're right. I kind of came full circle. Full circle. That's a 90s. Or maybe that was 2000s. The band. Circle.
Yeah.
No, Perfect Circle. What the fuck am I talking about?
On that
Dude,
note.
We got to end this show, man. I'm getting all over the fucking place.
Yeah, you are. All right. Well, until next time, always remember to pop your culture.
Goodbye.
That was great. Wasn't that great? I'd say... That was great.
That was great.
He looks so happy.
This is gonna work. We can do this.
You did a good thing. Smile. Smile. You remember smiling? Sure. Open your lips. Show your teeth.
Wah, wah, wah. Woo. Like a man.
Bye, baby.
Wow.
Don't mean maybe.
Wow.
Gonna get along somehow.
Wow, wow, wow.
Soon. You'll be crying.
Ooh,
count of all your lying.
Ooh,
yeah, just look who's laughing now.
I'm gonna
walk like a man.